Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hill 70 Quantock Ranch, where the horse to ride for your next bull purchase. 6th of February of 2021.
Agriculture is Saskatchewan, and 620 CKRM is your source for everything ag. Welcome to our newly expanded Saskatchewan Agriculture Today. Here's your host, Jim Smalley.
And a good afternoon. Welcome to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today. Today, APAS highlights numbers which show the federal carbon tax could cost farmers in this province up to $500 million by the year 2030. APAS says the carbon tax added cost for growing wheat is $12.50 an acre, and this province has 40 million cropping acres. It could mean as much as $500 million. Also, Saskatchewan farmers welcome Ottawa's plan to review the Canada Grain Act, saying it's long overdue. We have an outlook on the yellow and green pea markets and a look at the insect infestation forecast for this coming year. The farm weather is in its usual spot at the bottom of the hour.
This is Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with 620 CKRM Agri-News Director Jim Smalley.
APAS says Ottawa's new carbon tax proposal will be extremely costly to Saskatchewan farmers. The $30 a ton carbon tax right now is set to go to $170 by the year 2030. APAS President Todd Lewis says updated estimates place the cost to wheat farmers at $12.50 an acre, or well over $200 million.
Well, we've just extrapolated the numbers out from the $50 a ton numbers that we were using earlier. Those numbers we're fairly comfortable with. The Parliamentary Budget Office kind of confirmed those numbers, late last fall. And so just extrapolating those numbers out, and that's far from an exhaustive list. It's taking into account things like electricity, added cost to our electrical, certainly natural gas and propane used for heating of barns and grain drying, an example. And kind of a real hidden cost is the extra transportation costs, especially in transporting grain by rail. So it works out to, by the end of 2030, we could be as high as $12.50 an acre for a wheat crop on an average Saskatchewan farm. So very significant dollars, and it'll add up to, tens of thousands of dollars on each individual farm, and really hundreds of millions at the farm gate, coming straight off the bottom line of Saskatchewan producers.
Do you have a closer number? How many millions of dollars, hundreds of millions?
I don't have anything right in front of me, Jim, but it's pretty easy. If you take 12-15 acre of wheat and times it by our times it, across all the acres in Saskatchewan, it'll be very similar numbers for canola, lentils as well. So it'll add up, and I say it's far from an exhaustive list. So if at $10 an acre times even 20 million acres of cropping in Saskatchewan, that's 200 million. So it's very significant numbers.
Tell me a little bit about the federal rebates. They won't help very much?
Well, that's more of on an individual basis. And, even that as far, they are more than what the urban people in Saskatchewan receive. But at the same time, if you look at the average farm family in Saskatchewan that's transporting children, to school, sporting events and so on, and just general living in rural Saskatchewan, the amount of fuel burned in a month is, in a lot of situations for Saskatchewan farm families, is equivalent to what a family in Saskatoon or Regina may burn in an entire year. And so we're certainly not at, 12 times what our urban counterparts are getting for a rebate. And what it's going to do is really, how sustainable are we going to have for an agricultural industry, as well as even being able to live in rural Saskatchewan and be able to raise a family and prosper. It's a huge land mass that, we've spread out. We're over 40% of the agricultural land in the country. And, it's something that we need to have people living on the land to be able to farm and ranch properly. And this is going to be an added cost to Saskatchewan farm families.
Your news release points out farmers need to be compensated for the efforts they take to reduce greenhouse gases.
Well, you know, Saskatchewan really, Jim, has been the world leader in a lot of this new technology. You know, even looking at, you know, things like zero till, even some of the new technology of driverless tractors and so on, the DOT system, you know, that's right here in Saskatchewan, that's been developed. And you know, so these, we've been producing more and more pounds of meat and more bushels of grain with an ever lowering carbon footprint. So, and sequestration of carbon into our cropland and ranch land is very significant, and none of it's being recognized right now. So it's another piece of this puzzle that we certainly need to see recognition for what we have sequestered and what we continue to sequester on an ongoing basis.
With various estimates of 36 to 40 million cropping acres in Saskatchewan, the total cost of the $170 per metric ton carbon tax could reach a cost of Saskatchewan farmers of $500 million.
Back to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with Jim Smalley on 620 CKRM.
Saskatchewan farmers welcome Ottawa's review of the Canada Grain Act. Federal Agriculture Minister Marie-Claude Bibeau said yesterday the consultations will be online until April 30th. She says the act hasn't been changed in almost 50 years, and grain marketing has changed over those time period. Western Canadian Wheat Growers Committee Chair Jim Wickett says the review is important.
This is long, long overdue. This died on the order paper. A lot of these changes in 2014 when the election got called, and we're very happy to see it restarted. We were a little disappointed to see it put on pause. We were ready to go then, but we're certainly ready to take this on now.
What changes would you like to see?
Well, there's certainly some changes that need crops need to be added so that they're covered under the bond issue if a company defaults, and that's canary seed. So that's certainly one that needs to be done. One of the other ones is we really need a review of what's actually needed with some of the services from the Canadian Grain Commission. And maybe, you know, in a perfect world, we would be able to look at the grading system. We have a visual grading system that's been in use since the beginning of time, it seems like, around the turn of the century. And technology's changed just a touch since then, and it's time to add the technology component in there. There's other countries doing it. The world, the grain trade trades on a spec grade, and Canada, the farmers still go with a visual grade, which is not to our benefit.
You say spec grade. What is a spec grade?
Well, that just goes on by sprout falling number, any number of parameters that the end user, you know, if it's a flour mill in Indonesia, it might have a different spec and fat that works better in their heat and humidity to make bread and those kind of things. So we use a visual. I mean, take frost, for instance. You have frost. The millers call that Miller's Gold because it makes the brand pop off, so they buy it at a discount because visually the frost is there, and it does nothing to the baking qualities. So they get their bread grain on 20% off sale, and that's not helping farmers. That's taking money right out of the economy.
What in the review of services from the Grain Commission seems to me? Before, you'd wanted more streamlining, less costs.
Yeah, it's mandatory if grain leaves at either one of the coasts to a country other than the United States, that the grain is inspected by the Canadian Grain Commission, who uses a visual grade spec. The grain companies are selling it on a spec-based, which is more technical. The Grain Commission doesn't do that, yet they get charged. They've dropped the charges, but that's where the surplus came on. They've dropped the charge, I think, to $1.31. But that's literally, in talking to one of the big mills from Winnipeg, he's a buyer in Winnipeg for one of the mills in United Kingdom. They basically take that Canadian Grain Commission inspection, put it in the filing cabinet, never look at it again. It means nothing to them. So we're asking that the Grain Commission, it become an optional if it's inspected by them. There's plenty of other companies out there that can be accredited by them to do the inspections that are actually doing them now. because the grain companies or the end buyer is specifically asking for them, because it's in many cases inspected as it leaves the coast, and then it's re-inspected by the same company once it arrives at the destination. So it's a double inspection. And when you throw the Grain Commission one, it's done three times. And that money that pays for that comes out of the bottom line of the farmer. That's in your basis. That's the cost of doing business to those companies.
So are those the keys then, Jim, that you want to see changed?
Yeah, I think we need this act has been not really touched for a long, long time. There's also some issues that never got dealt with the end of the wheat board, and that's reporting of vessel cargoes and destinations so that we know exactly what's leaving this country. Like, we have grain, especially this year, flying out of the country, and no one's 100% sure what it actually is going on. And, you know, we could end up here come the 1st of July and our local bakers might be out of bread, wheat that can make flour. So we just, you know, that should be a national interest to know exactly what's leaving the country. And virtually every other country in the world has that kind of reporting but us.
Jim Wickett is the Wheat Growers Committee Chair for review of the Canada Grain Act.
Yay.
Time now for Real Agriculture with Sean Haney. Brought to you in part by Karst Holdings in Assiniboia and Schlamp's Integra Tire in Grenfell. Your locally owned Integra Tire dealers on The Source, 620 CKRM.
This is your RealAgriculture.com update brought to you by the Canola School. Get canola agronomic information when you need it on your smartphone, tablet, or laptop. Our library of timely agronomic information is free and available at canolaschool.com. Sean Haney here with RealAgriculture.com and Real Ag Radio on Rural Radio 147. I am joined right now by Kurt Blades from the Association of Equipment Manufacturers. Kurt, how are you?
I'm doing well, Sean. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, hey, thanks for chatting with us. You know, I love to take a look at the AAM Flash Report every month that comes out for Canada and the U.S. and kind of get an idea what new machinery sales are looking like. Now, we've got the December number, so we can kind of take a look at December and the entire year behind us. What numbers stood out for you, Kurt, here as you look at the Canadian numbers?
Well, Sean, as you know, the equipment sales numbers are a pretty good indication. You know, it tells a lot of things about the economy. It tells a lot of things about the ag economy. So when we look at those December numbers, we actually saw a lot of strength in all categories of tractors for the month of December. And, you know, that's good news, because the market for tractors has been a little soft in Canada for tractors and for combines as well. We saw some softness in combines for December specifically, but kind of across the board, tractors did okay in Canada. And, you know, also, as you look year to date, we actually saw some pretty nice numbers for smaller horsepower tractors. So under 40 horsepower, 40 to 100 horsepower tractors for the whole year. Those actually ended up stronger in 2020 than they were in 19.
And I guess as you look at this, you know, like I'm looking at the entire year. And if you look at like combines, for example, you know, down 13.9% on the year. Four-wheel tractors, as stated, you know, down 5.6. It really has been the smaller, you know, the smaller size tractors, lower cost. That is kind of on both sides of the border has kind of really floated the boat, has it not?
It absolutely has. The lower horsepower tractors have been driving the market, and I think that the story behind the story on that one, Sean, is that is a whole lot of folks that are probably not using their tractor to farm with. And, you know, I think we've seen, as you look at the overall economy, there's been certain segments that have done particularly well during the pandemic. Autos have done well. Luxury goods have done well. Anything that has to do with improving your home, those markets have all done particularly well. So you can easily throw under 40 horsepower tractors into that same segment for those folks that aren't traveling. Maybe have a little bit of an acreage and they've decided to invest their travel funds or some of their, while they're hunkering down, to maybe buy a tractor to improve their land just a little bit. So that's been driving the market on both sides of the market, both sides of the border.
Yeah, and how much stronger in Canada was the second half of the year versus the first half?
Well, so Canada's kind of been, again, it started off pretty soft. I mean, it took up until, mid-year before we started to see numbers above trend, numbers above the five-year average in Canada. And there's been softness in the Canadian equipment market for about a year, year and a half now. And that's absolutely reflective of the overall economy in Canada, has been just a little bit soft. So, I think what we can look at this is, with a little bit of optimism that, as those tides sort of started to turn, perhaps it is a good indication that, where things could be going with the overall ag economy in Canada. Maybe it's pointing in the right direction. Certainly, as you pointed out correctly, those large purchases like self-propelled combines and articulated four-wheel drive tractors, those have remained pretty, soft or flat for the year. But those are also really expensive, pieces of equipment. I mean, for a farmer to invest $500,000 plus in a piece of equipment, they got to feel pretty solid about the future. And, that uncertainty is not necessarily there in Canada and specifically in Western Canada just yet. So I think that's why we're seeing some of that softness. But when you look at the utility tractors and the row crop tractors, maybe those that have a slightly lower cost, it seems like, there's at least enough certainty for farmers to feel comfortable making those purchases right now.
This has been your Real Agriculture Update. You can find out more about this issue or many others at realagriculture.com.
It's your agri weather forecast on The Source, 620 CKRM.
The official 620 CKRM farm weather is brought to you by Shepherd Realty in Regina, specializing in farm and ranch real estate in Saskatchewan. Call Harry, Justin, or Devin at 352-1866. We have a wind warning for today, and it is raining right now in Regina. Looks a little slippery out there. Cloudy with a few showers today. Wind southwest 40, gusting to 60. The high today, plus 5. Tonight, snow ending after midnight, then mainly cloudy. 2 to 4 centimeters of blowing snow. Wind west 60, gusting to 80, becoming northwest 80, gusting to 110 near midnight. The low minus 6. Tomorrow, periods of light snow and blowing snow. Wind northwest 60, gusting to 80, the high minus 2. Wind chill minus 17 in the morning and minus 11 in the afternoon. The low minus 9 Thursday. Friday, partly cloudy, the high minus 6, the low minus 11. Saturday, sunny, the high minus 2, the low minus 11. Sunday, cloudy, 60% chance of flurries, the high minus 2, the low minus 7. Monday, high minus 4, the low minus 9. Tuesday, partly cloudy and a high minus 5. Normal high for this date, minus 11. The normal low, minus 23 degrees. The sun rose at 8:54 this morning. It sets at 5:20 tonight. And around the province, we have Estevan at plus 2. Saskatoon, plus 2. Swift Current is plus 5. Weyburn, plus 2. Yorkton is minus 6. In Regina with light rain, it's plus 2, that's 36 Fahrenheit. Winds are from the south-southeast at 26. Humidity is 94%, the barometer dropping 99.5. The hot spot right now in Saskatchewan is Maple Creek at 12 degrees. The cold spot, Prince Albert, at minus 8. In Moose Jaw, cloudy and 4. Winds are from the south-southwest at 34. That's plus 4 for Moose Jaw. Once again, Regina, light rain and plus 2. That's 36 Fahrenheit. Back in a moment.
Hey, everybody. It's Ted Creech here from Hill 70 Quantock Ranch in Lloydminster, Alberta. On the 6th of February of 2021, I'd like to invite everybody to our 51st annual Barn Burner Bull Sale starting at 12 noon. Now, we'll sell approximately 400 bulls consisting of red and black Angus, horn and polled Herefords, red and black Sim Angus, Charlet, and red Balancer bulls, plus 100 bred and open commercial females to round out the day. Now don't be afraid to get in touch with us. Either call myself, Connor, or Bill at 1-800-665-7253.
You're listening to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with 620 CKRM Agri-News Director Jim Smalley.
This portion of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by McDougall Auctioneers. Get fair market value for your assets with an online auction through McDougall Auctioneers. McDougallAuctions.com. And brought to you by Pattison Liquid Systems, experts in liquid fertilizer distribution. Fertilizer's just better when it's wetter. Patterson Liquid Systems expect the best. China is buying 95% of its yellow pea requirements from Canada, but is actively looking to diversify to purchasing base. Chuck Penner provided the pea market outlook during the online CropSphere event yesterday. He said there was a massive increase in exports at harvest.
There's always a spike in September, but this year's movement was exceptionally large. Because China is our major buyer now, I had expected more steady, even movement throughout the year, but that turned out to not be the case. Now we've moved back in November, and partly that's because China did stock up so heavily in September and October, and they're able to back off a little bit. In December already, we know from the CGC data that volumes are up a little bit again. And so expecting a fairly steady volume for the rest of the year.
Penner says China may be looking around for additional sources of yellow peas next fall.
As we've heard and seen in a number of other crops, China is looking to diversify its sources. Just like Canada doesn't want to be dependent on a single destination, in this case China, China doesn't want to be dependent on a single origin. So they are looking for other opportunities. So there are reports Ukrainian peas may be able to move into China in the future as phytosanitary barriers start to come down. That's not going to affect this year's market because Ukraine has essentially run out of peas already, but it could be a factor for the 2021-22 season.
India will continue to be a non-factor for Canadian peas after being a major buyer several years ago.
Because they have, it's not just import tariffs, but quantitative restrictions. They do allow a small volume of green peas and a small volume of dun peas. That's largely from Australia. But for the most part, they've shut out yellow pea imports. And I don't expect to see that changing. In case anybody asks that question, I don't expect to see Indian pea imports improve in the short to medium term. And there's a couple of reasons for that.
Penner says conditions for the rabi are looking good following adequate amounts of rain. In addition, Indian farmers have seeded above average areas of both peas and chickpeas. Heading into spring, Canadian yellow pea stocks are fairly tight.
When we look at the ending stocks for this year, the yellow pea crop was only up 4%, while the green pea crop was up larger, was up even considerably more, 30%. And so I'm expecting the tightness to continue to show up in the yellow side of the market, while greens are going to struggle. Not that the supplies are burdensome or that type of thing, but certainly yellow is going to be the favorable, more favorable in the second half of this marketing year.
Penner expects overall pea area to remain stable. However, he forecasts a 7% increase for yellows and a 19% decline for greens.
We're looking at roughly steady pea acres, but that's kind of masks the differences for the two types. So I think as we see new crop yellow pea bids firm up now well above $8 in a lot of cases, that's enough to drive up some acres for yellows. But if greens are showing only a small premium or even a discount, that's going to mean that green pea acres are going to drop down. My experience tells me that you need roughly a $2 a bushel premium to get more green pea acres at the expense of yellows. And we're certainly less than that, much less than that these days, and could get even further. So more of a drop in green pea acres.
Penner provides his pea summary for both the current and new crop years.
We'll have tight supplies for the rest of this year, tighter for yellows than greens. But prices are also being supported by the feed and the meal markets, not just domestically, but in export markets. So I think there's more upside possible, and particularly for yellows. Greens, I'm not holding out as much hope. For next year, with a modest increase in acres and an average yield, supplies are going to be flat. Chinese demand should remain strong, but there's always a bit of a nervousness. At least I have a bit of nervousness when you rely so heavily on one country. The other thing to note for next year is that other exporters will raise acreage, and probably places like Ukraine and Russia, especially if they get access to the Chinese market. There right now, they are also seeing very, very strong bids in Ukraine and in Russia, old crop bids, and that should encourage that. And I don't think they have the rotational constraints in terms of plant diseases and those kind of things that would tend to limit acreage in Canada.
Chuck Penner is with Left Field Commodity Research. He provided the pea market outlook yesterday at CropSphere.
You're tuned to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today on The Source, 620 CKRM.
This segment of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by Diggleman Industries. Look to Diggleman for the most reliable, dependable, engineered tough equipment on the market. The province has released the grasshopper pea-leaf weevil forecast for the coming year. The provincial crop specialist in Kindersley, John Ippolito, has details on the outlook.
The grasshopper forecast is based on surveys conducted in August on 1,170 fields. Most of the province is forecast to have very light infestations, but there are a few exceptions. Moderate to heavy populations were detected in the Bursay-Dinsmore area. There was also a moderate populations in the southwest corner of the province. Areas with light infestations were Weyburn-Estevan and west of Kindersley. The dominant species was two-striped grasshoppers, but there was a high number of clear-winged grasshoppers in a pasture in the RM of Laurier. The survey and forecast provides general information on the risk levels for the upcoming growing season. Actual severity may change based on spring growing conditions. The survey for the pea leaf weevil occurs in June each year when the peas are in the 2-5 node stage. The assessment is done by counting the feeding notches on the pea leaves. This is an indication of the presence of the adult weevils. The amount of feeding damage was found to be very low in 2020. There were moderate increases relative to 2019 in the Yorkton area and along the border south of Moose Jaw. Otherwise, pea leaf weevil populations were quite low across the province. Both of these maps can be viewed on saskatchewan.ca. This is John Ippolito, Crops Extension Specialist at Kindersley.
Coming up, Market Update.
The Market Updates with Jim Smalley on The Source, 620 CKRM.
Market Update brought to you by Scott Bjornson of Hollis Wealth. For more information or to book a free consultation, call 1-800-284-9999. And Nelson GM in Assiniboia and Avonlea. If you are a Costco member, get huge savings on current 2019 and 2020 SUVs right now. Viterra prices were mixed in early trading. Canola fell 20 cents at $6.47.47. Flax gained $32 at $7.29.37. Number one red spring wheat rose $1.70 at $2.68.20. The rest unchanged. Durum $2.99.46. Feed barley $2.34.70. Lentils $5.72.50. Oats $2.29.53. Yellow peas $3.40.39. Feed wheat $1.83.72. On the Minneapolis Grain Exchange this morning, March red spring wheat was up 1.25 cents at $6.22 a bushel.
It's the Livestock Reports on The Source, 620 CKRM.
The livestock quotes are brought to you by the Weyburn Livestock Exchange. Call Weyburn 842-4574. And now the latest livestock quotes.
Assiniboia Livestock had a regular sale on January 13th. D1 and D2 cows sold from 66 to 78 cents. D3 cows sold from 55 to 65 cents. Slaughter bulls sold from 91 to 101. This is Jordan with the Assiniboia Livestock Market Report.
And the latest Saskatchewan pork prices, $153 per CKG. That's for both the Brandon and Moose Jaw plants. Coming up, the Resource Report.
This is the Saskatchewan Resource Report on 620 CKRM. Here's Jim Smalley.
Now the Resource Report. The Saskatchewan government says this province has received a ranking in the very top jurisdictions around the world for business in the mining sector. Energy and Resources Minister Bronwyn Eyre says the report shows Saskatchewan has created a strong mining investment climate. She says the mining sector plays a critical role in economic recovery, and the province will ensure Saskatchewan is among the top international jurisdictions for investment in exploration and development of minerals. Saskatchewan received the highest rating in the Opportunity Index, and on overall investment, this province was one of only two jurisdictions with the highest AAA rating. The report looked at legal, governance, social, fiscal, and infrastructure performance. The London report relied on surveys from more than 900 mining professionals. The report ranks 111 jurisdictions across 83 countries. Saskatchewan's 10-year growth plan calls for increasing the annual value of uranium sales to $2 billion, potash sales to $9 billion, and encouraging the development of strategic metals and minerals in the province. On the markets, Canada's main stock index was down in late morning trading as the energy and metals and mining sectors stepped lower and U.S. stock markets put in a mixed showing. The TSX Composite Index was down 70 points at 17,915. In New York, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was down 11 points at 31,057. The Canadian dollar traded at 78.58 cents U.S., compared with 78.46 cents Tuesday. The February crude oil contract was down 3 cents at 53.18 per barrel. That's the Resource Report. If you missed any segment of the show, tune in to the on-demand Saskatchewan Agriculture Today podcast, brought to you by Hill 70 Quantock Ranch, the place to be for your next bull purchase. Mark the right date, February 6, 2021. Call 1-800-665-7253 anytime, any day. That's Saskatchewan Agriculture Today. I'm Jim Smalley.
You've been listening to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with Jim Smalley on 620 CKRM. If you missed any of today's broadcast, download the podcast now online at 620ckrm.com. Saskatchewan Agriculture Today, now starting after the 12 o'clock news on your voice for everything ag, 620 CKRM.
Hill 70 Quantock Ranch, where quality comes in quantity, on the 6th of February of 2021. Be welcome to join us for our annual bull sale.